Welcome to this New Life Podcast. It is our desire that you learn all of the benefits of the abundant life that you have in Jesus Christ, so you can live your life to its fullest. Listen and be encouraged.
I'm going to try to blend something together here today. I tried it in the first service, and I think I can do better in the second, because it's funny, after the second service, the Lord went up to my office. I said, God, so much I want to bring out. And he's, you know what he told me? He goes, relax. So I'm going to try and relax and just have fun, because I'm a father. So this is, and I kind of have two things I'm blending together. Father's Day, but Generation Seed. This month, we're talking about Generation Seed. I had no idea that when God told me to start at a church, what he actually wanted to birth was a family. And we have church family all over the nation. In fact, this in one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so as I'm sharing today about Generation Seed and Father's Day and kind of blending it together, for you and I to realize this wonderful opportunity and joy that we have as we participate in the kingdom. Because, I mean, I love my natural family. I love my sons. I love my daughter. I love my grandchildren and with all my heart. But I love this church. Man, I love our church. I love New Life churches all over the nation. And as I travel, you know, Edwin travels a lot with me, and I have to usually carry Kleenex, because it seems the older I get, I'm just turning into a big crybaby. Because everywhere I go, I'm just so blessed by what I see that God has done, and I'm just so overwhelmed at his faithfulness and his goodness, and I see the fruit of these New Life churches and what they're doing, and it's family, and we're a part of that, and so I'm just so blessed. Generation Seed is about us as a church participating and sowing into something that is going to continue to increase into the next generation. Because we're part of something that's so much bigger than us. We're part of something that will outlast our lives. I will never see the end and the fullness of New Life unless Jesus returns. You know, when I preached the anniversary service in Pastor Joselle was encouraging, and you know, we're thanking God for the last 32 years, and you know, and we thank God for that and God's faithfulness. But let me tell you, we have an appreciation for the past, but we have to stay alive with an expectation for the future. We don't want the good old days. We want these days, because the glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former. In other words, our best days aren't behind us. Our best days are ahead of us. So everything that God has done, oh, the best is yet to come. Amen. When Jesus turned water into wine, you know, he saved the best for last. He always. So our best days are still unfolding. And so when it comes to the churches and we look at what God is doing, it's absolutely wonderful and glorious, and thinking about the future of the church. And my poor head, I have so many thoughts. I'm trying to relax. I really am. I know this looks terrible on, but pastors, don't say that. You're live. Listen, folks, this is not a performance. This is church, you know. And so I'm just thinking about what God is doing around the nation. And I'm so blessed by it. And so when it comes to Generation Seed, this is where we participate in what we're doing, because it's, oh, yeah, I know. I was thinking about when Joselle was talking about the future in our anniversary. And somebody came up to me and they go, Pastor, 32 more years. Yeah. Amen. 32 more. Pastor, where are you going to be in 32 years? I said, heaven. They went, no. I went, listen, 32 more years, I'm 100. Oh, no, Pastor, you can live to be 120. I don't want to. No, I want to finish my course, enjoy my grandkids, maybe my great-grandkids, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No. 32 more years? No, if they have to bring me in and, you know, and I can't walk and I can't talk and I don't even know where I'm at, no, just let's let me go to heaven. So I won't see the end of what God is doing, because if Jesus does a return, it will go from one generation to the next, and every generation is just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. But it all begins and continues because of how we love and how we pray and how we sow into it. Generation seed and all the giving that's done for that is to go into the conference that we're having in August. And these are the children that have come out of this house. These are the churches around the nation. And not only children, but grandchildren. See, the wonderful thing about generation, about a family, is, okay, let me see the picture of family, my boys. Oh, what happened? Is somebody sitting on us there? Okay, try that one more time without making us, there we go. Okay. It's my sons, fathers. They're both fathers. So, God bless me. I mean, I have a daughter too. You see, oh, you forgot your daughter. Hey, it's Father's Day. It's not daughter. You know, so I'm talking about fathers. Okay, I'm not. And even if Brittany is watching live stream, sweetheart, it's Father's Day. Okay, you're a daughter. You're not a father. So she's gonna think, where am I in the picture? It's Father's Day. So another picture. That was us in South Texas. We were deer hunting. It's delicious. Now, these are my sons. I love my sons. I love sharing life with my sons. It's family. I love the friends that God has brought into my life, and I appreciate my friends greatly. But I love time with my boys. I really do. And then from them, I get these guys. I get grandchildren. Never mind that foot. You know, Stephen had to stick his foot in there. Never mind the foot. But this is generation. And then from Ryan, next. This is what happens when mommy is not around and they're with Lola Shadi. She goes, let's have some ice cream. So she gets out the bucket of ice cream. Now, you don't see Shadi, but she's on this side of the table, and they're all just having a wonderful time because mommy is not around watching. This is what happens when you're with Lola and not mom. I love these guys. What is it? It's generation. Other pictures. She has Lolo's eyes. And good. I love this girl. Next girl. Oh, this is why Stephen is working out with weights all the time, because by the time she's 16 and 17 and the guys start coming around, he's going to be answering the door. And I love these guys. They're the next generation. The fruit that comes from generation to generation bring such a fullness into our lives. Now, that's family. The reason we talk about generation seed is because besides a natural family, New Life has birthed a spiritual family. We have family all over this nation, not only all over this nation, but even other nations. And it's there because we have sown seeds, because of the giving, because of the praying, because of the heart of God that the people of New Life, from year to year to year, they have embraced. Not because of coercion or obligation or anything, but a joy. I've had people come to me and say, oh man, New Life, you guys, you're just a really rich church. No, we're a generous church. This church wasn't built off rich people. It was built off generous people. We want to reach every level of society. We don't classify people A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We want the entire alphabet. We want to reach every level of society. It is generosity and people's giving because they embrace the vision and because they love the will of God. They love the plan of God. They love the purpose of God. And it continued to grow. And then from this house, it's like for me and Shadi, children were born and then grandchildren. And then it continued to grow and grow and grow. When we have this meeting in August, our New Life Conference, it is a gathering of family. Sons and daughters and grandchildren. We have about 55 New Life churches around the nation. But we have over 60 outreach churches. What are outreach churches? Those are churches that have been birthed by New Life churches. Basically, we have grandchildren. So the grandchildren are multiplying. And it's because of the generosity, because of the involvement of people in this house. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. There's one who scatters yet increases more. There's one who withholds more than is right. Let me just stop there. I like this verse because it says there's one who scatters, one who sows, one who gives, and they increase. They don't lose. They increase. And there's one who withholds more than is right. Please listen to that. There's a portion that it's right for you to hold on to. Don't ever let anybody tell you, oh, you know, the Lord told me to tell you to give everything that you have. No, 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 no. If you're watching somebody on TV or the internet and they said, God told me to tell you and you need to give everything, change the channel or go to somewhere else. If God isn't telling you to do something, don't let somebody else tell you what God told you to do if you don't bear witness in your heart. He says, wait, leave that verse up there. There's one who withholds more than is right. That means there's a portion it's right to withhold. God is not a manipulator. God is not trying to get everything from you because, first of all, God doesn't have need. It's not that he wants it from you because he needs it. He wants you to release it in order he can multiply it and give it back to you. So it's not him that needs it. It's you who needs it. You need to release it so he can multiply it, increase it, and bring it back to you because only through sowing do you reap. You don't just reap through praying. Saying, oh, I'm just praying over my finances and praying over my finances. Okay, that's good to pray over your finances, but praying over your finances, that's like a farmer praying over his harvest, but he never planted any seed. Plant some seed, then pray over your seed. You'll watch your prayers have great return. But if you're praying and praying and praying, but you didn't plant any, there's no Filipino farmer in the nation that will go out to his rice field and pray for 3 months and just pray. They're not that bobo. Nobody will do that. Thank you, Father, for my harvest. Thank you for mine. And then while he's doing that, the rest of the farmers are going, something wrong with this brother. And so all the other farmers are out there harvesting. He's still praying. And then he starts crying. They say, bro, what's wrong? I have no harvest. Well, did you plow? No, I just prayed. Did you plant anything? No, I just prayed. What are you asking God to multiply? When you pray, he multiplies what you plant. And so if you plant zero and God multiplies it, it's still... So is... God's not trying to get something from us. Please, if I don't teach this because I'm here in Alabang area. I've taught this all over the Philippines. I've taught this in some of the poorest barrios. I've taught this in the mountains of Ifugao and the Quirino province and the Mountain province. I've taught this when a 70-year-old grandmother came back 2 hours after the service because she got a revelation that... That she needed to give, and she came back and she brought some eggs. and gave it to her pastor. I've seen God do almost impossible, miraculous things because people took him at his word. And in the far corners of this nation, I've seen God prosper pastors in the provinces that before were walking up and down mountains and pastoring different churches, and then God blessed them with horses, and then God blessed their fields. And when pastors, I remember going into these areas, and we would teach and share the principles of God's word. A couple years later, after we were finished preaching in the mountains in Antique, I had to hire someone to bring my offering home because I had baskets of mangoes and kilos and kilos of that red mountain rice, which is so good, and fruits and vegetables. They said, "Brother Paul, we have been teaching this to our people, and our people have begun giving, and they've been giving, and now the multiplication and the harvest is just, it's incredible." And so we came to give you an offering, and I had to hire someone to bring it down out of the mountains and ride the bus back to Kalibo to bring it home, because it doesn't matter where you are, God's word works. Because he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying so desperately to get more to you, but you have to trust him. There are those who scatter abroad and yet increases more. There are those who withhold more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul, the liberal soul, will be made rich. And he who waters will be also watered himself. In other words, what you put out is going to come back to you. Now, one translation says the liberal soul will be made fat. I chose rich instead of fat. How many of you choose that one too? Yeah. Amplified Classic. There are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it only results in want. The liberal person will be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. New Living Translation. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain. They bless the one who sells in time of need. Another translation. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. I want my world to get bigger. You see, when you live out of generosity, when your world gets bigger, you know why your world gets bigger? Because your generosity causes other people to become larger. You're enlarging other people. That's one of the goals of our generosity, to bring an enlargement, to bring an increase to others, not looking for what we can get, but looking for the opportunity where we can enlarge others. Your needs will not be met by what you wait to receive. Your needs will be met by how you sow. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Listen, that's not just what comes out of your pocket. That's your smile. That's the giving of yourself, the way you love one another, the way you treat one another, the kindness, the generosity, the consideration, the understanding, the way you give of yourself to people, it will come back. And the more generous you are to give of yourself, and sometimes it's easier to write a check than give of ourselves. But sometimes God wants you. And he needs you, and he needs your voice, and he needs your hand, and he needs your love, and he needs your understanding, and he needs your compassion that person needs to see demonstrated to them, where you let them know they're valuable, they're important, and you help to turn something in their life. Maybe they need a hand on their shoulder, or they need some words in their ear. And so we help to enlarge the world of other people. Don't let circumstances cause you to shrink. Live big on purpose. Live full and live free. I said this before, giving of self always precedes the giving of substance. And God will use natural things to train us, because if we're faithful in natural riches, then he can entrust to us the true riches. where we look for opportunities to be a blessing, not just opportunities to be blessed. See, that's a different. We're looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. You know the kind of people that always showed up waiting to be blessed. That's not the culture of this house. We don't show up looking to be blessed. We show up looking to be a blessing. God goes, I like that. You're acting like me now. Jesus didn't come for anything that he could receive. He came to just give of himself completely. And that's what the church is supposed to be like. We show up. We're the biggest givers around. When he spoke to Abraham, he said, listen, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, and I'll make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. You will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. And so what I'm going to do in you is I'm going to bless you, but the purpose of blessing you is so you can be a blessing to the nations. I believe that's what God wants New Life to be, a blessing to the Philippines. And I believe we have been. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, because it is he who gives you the power to get wealth so he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Listen, don't forget in all the things that come into your life and all the increase in the homes and this and that, don't forget God is the one that brings these things into your life. And the reason he brings it into your life is he wants you to get involved establishing the covenant and being a blessing, not just getting blessed. Listen, God wants you blessed. God doesn't care what you have as long as it doesn't have you. As long as you can control everything that comes to you, God has no problem with it. But when what you have begins to control you, then you're no longer the owner, you're the owned. God doesn't want us owned by anything or anyone other than himself. And when we are owned by him and when we are yielded to him, then who we are is available and what we have is available, because God's not a taker, he's not a subtractor. He adds and he multiplies and he always brings back. You will never give out more to him or to others than God does not bring back into your life. It's who he is, it's what he does, and it's what his word shows us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, just you only. But even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Now Paul's writing to the Filipino church, the Philippian church. He said, it's not that I'm looking for your gift, but I seek the fruit that will abound to your account. Indeed, I have all and I abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Look at how he talks about the offering from the Philippian church. He calls it a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Given to Paul, but also received by God and recognized by God. And my God shall supply all your needs. See, he's talking to the Philippians. He's talking to those that give. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. What is the Philippian church doing? They're helping Paul in the area of ministry where he's continuing the kingdom, where other churches are being born. That in his missionary journey, they are a part of what he's doing. They're sowing into other churches and other areas where Paul is. Acts chapter 10, verse 8. There's another story. I want to read through this real quickly. Now, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who, along with all of his household, feared God. He made charitable donations to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God always. About the ninth hour, 3 p.m. of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had come to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius was frightened, stared intently at him and said, what is it, Lord, sir? And the angel said to him, your prayers and gifts of charity have ascended. Oh God, let my prayers and my giving go up beyond earth. They have ascended as a memorial offering before God, an offering made in remembrance of his past blessings. His giving was given to people, his prayers went to God, but they both came up together before the throne. And now he's getting directions. Because of his giving and his praying, God sends an angel who says, send men to Joppa, have them call for a man named Simon, who's also called Peter, invite him here. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants, a devout soldier from among his own personal attendants, and after explaining to them everything, he sent them to Joppa. In the meantime, God is giving Peter a vision that some people are coming for him. Now, the uniqueness about this is Cornelius is a Gentile. Everybody in his house is a Gentile. This is 19 days after the day of Pentecost. This is 19 days after the outpouring of the Spirit. The church is still all Jewish. So all the Jews in Jerusalem and different areas are going, hey, man, this is great. We have the old covenant. We got this new covenant. The Messiah has come. Look what we have. And it was still just theirs. But when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to quote from Joel, this is that which was prophesied by Joel, that in these last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say Jewish flesh. He said all flesh. But 19 years later, the church is still Jewish. No Gentiles. And this giving and this praying of this Gentile man touches God. God sends, gives Peter a vision. He comes to Cornelius' house, and as he begins to preach, and he quotes, he said, the Lord told him that, go and give them words by which they will be saved. As Peter begins to preach, the Spirit of God falls upon them. They all get filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter goes, wow, I guess God has granted salvation to the Gentiles as well as us. 19 years later. And what was the key that brought the gospel to the Gentiles, which means the rest of the world? It was somebody's giving and praying that brought change in that generation. And from that household, the visitation of that household, that man's praying and that man's giving that was recognized by God touched a generation. And in the first part of the book of Acts, it's Peter. The last half of the book of Acts, it's Paul. And who's Paul going to? He's going to the Gentile nations of the world. What a seed Cornelius sowed. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where there's neither rust nor moth, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be. See, your heart will really determine what you consider to be your treasure. The greatest direction I can give to my heart and my life is to be connected with something that has eternal value. Not just earthly, not just temporary, but eternal value. I want the fruit of how I live, how I love, and how I give to outlive me. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. In New Life, we want to be in favor of God's righteous cause. That's what generation seed is all about. Us sowing and giving to something that's beyond us, that's going to touch other people, and it's going to spill over into the next generation, because that's God's cause, is that the church continue to grow and increase. Just like my family, my sons, and then my grandsons. And as I continue to live and Jesus does not tarry, and then my grandsons and my granddaughters, and they're going to have a family. Maybe I'll get to see them, and I'll just watch from generation to generation to generation. what's coming as a result of the way Shadi and I have lived and how we have loved and what we helped to create. Listen, people of New Life, God is doing something beautiful in this nation and the nations of the world. And if God can get it through us, he will definitely bring it to us. Even his names, he's a generous God. He's El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He's not El Koriput. He's not El Chipo. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. He's Jehovah Reah, the Lord my shepherd. I shall not lack. There is a giving to live where generosity produces prosperity. Giving to live, and it will bless your life. But then there's another level of living to give where generosity produces posterity. See, prosperity is something that I can enjoy. Posterity is something that outlives me. See, when you understand in Malachi where God talks about tithing, you don't understand, it's way beyond you. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me in this, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing you cannot contain. What does that mean? You'll have so much you can't contain it. Wait, I don't know who's the richest, if it's Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, or I know they're worth $150 billion, $200 billion. And you know what? They still have room. So when God says you don't have enough room, it doesn't mean you won't have enough space to contain all I bring you. It means you won't have enough room as far as years to your life, because I'm going to bless you that the blessings upon your life will outlast the days you have. I want to be not, what do you think the word blessed coming in and blessed going out? Most of us have that as a doormat in our house. Blessed coming. Now, I don't want to be blessed just going in a house and going out of a house. I want to be so blessed that I finish my days, that the blessings of God that have come into my life are bigger than the years that I have. And that's why the Bible says that a good man can leave an inheritance for his children's children. Why? Because the blessings that God has brought through your generosity, through your faithfulness, through connecting with his kingdom are bigger than the length of your days. More verses I'll save for you guys. Let me show you some pictures. This is Nepal, Kathmandu, Pastor Raju, New Life in Nepal. Their worship online is so anointed. Their services are so wonderful. I watch their worship, and of course sometimes it's in English and then other times it's in Nepali. But it's so anointed, even if I don't know what they're singing, you know it's anointed. And then when Raju gets up and he starts preaching, I don't understand a thing he says, but I recognize the anointing. You know they have over 1 million hits on YouTube? We don't even have that. And here's this church in Nepal that is speaking all over their nation and all over who knows where. But you know why they're there? Because of the generosity of this house. Next picture. That's Pastor Raju. He'll be here in August. Next picture. Pastor Simon and Rachel in Surigao. Got a, was that three-story? Almost going to be three and a half, four stories? They're there. They're building this beautiful church. And they're building that building because of the seeds and everything that was sown in Surigao. Next picture. Jason and Mai, right? I'm just trying to keep track of all these pastors. These are grandchildren. These aren't even children. This is one of the newest New Life churches. Somebody gave them a lot, and they're already building a building. And then right next door to the church is going to become their parking lot. Listen, the grandchildren are going fast. We have some outreach churches that already have lots, and they're not even recognized as a New Life church yet because they're still working with the churches and the pastors. We want them to go through Bible school. We've got some in Mindanao. They've got 300 people in the church, and they already have a lot. Okay, next. That's the building. This is going to be the parking lot out here. And the church extends past the coconuts. Next picture. That's the pastor. We'll continue to go down that way. Next picture. What's that? Tondo. This is Pastor Herbie's church. We have another picture. Next picture. Yeah. Average size church in Tondo. One of the most densely populated places. It's very harsh down there. Average size church, 60, 70 people. Every Sunday, New Life Tondo has 2,000 people come to church. Oh, come on. You should be happy. And it's air conditioned. And they have an LED screen they paid for. A Chinese family, the older father, before he passed away, told his sons, of all my properties, you can sell, you can do whatever you want, but not this property. It's a three-story school built in a big square. And it was abandoned because it's in the nastiest, worst place in Tondo. And it had been broken into and robbed, and you couldn't do anything with the building. It's too dangerous for students, and they didn't know what to do with it. He says, you cannot give it away. You cannot sell it. You can only use it for the kingdom. Pastor Herbie went to him and said, listen, if we begin to renovate it, can we use your building? He says, anything you renovate, you can use. They're not even paying rent because of the favor of God. And they're making history. These things have never been done. And you know why it's there? Because of the generosity of this house, because we gave and we sowed and we believed and we're helping to bring hope and healing and help to people who live in a very, very challenging place. Next picture. Oh, it's Pastor Herbie. Next picture. Santa Rosa. It's Pastor Tom and Elma in Santa Rosa. They built this building. Look at this. This is one of the sons and daughters out of this house. They built this beautiful building. Debt-free. Next picture. No. Okay, that's not Santa Rosa. This is Molito. Pastor Art. Molino. Yeah, Molino. Molito is the mall, yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm thinking about lunch already. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. And actually, this is their building. This is just the front of their lobby that they're using right now, because the sanctuary is behind that wall. And as they continue to build, then they'll open that up. And why are they there? Because of the generosity that came out of this. Next. This is Pastor Benny and Carmi and La Trinidad. Next. That's Kotbalogan. New Life Kotbalogan. Oh, I could preach all day on that one. Next. I don't know who he is. Good looking guy, though. Right, Joseph? Yeah. Next.
Encouragement and challenge, Lord. Thank you so much.
I want you to just look at
thank
this.
You so much, Lord God, for revelation.
This
thank
is new life.
Relationship. Thank you for
10 years ago.
You have for
this
our
was the,
our,
one of the most destroyed cities in the nation of the Philippines. Look at this. Look at this. They have four services on Sunday. This is a miracle. There's no other church like it on the entire island of Leyte.
Thank you so much, Lord God, for revelation. Thank you for relationship.
How coming out of such destruction and death and all of that? Why? Because they were connected to a people who embraced them and loved them, and we took trips to
there,
and we gave, and we sowed seeds. This church now, and they're birthing another church in the world.
Purpose that you have for our lives.
These are sons and daughters and grandchildren. Why? Because the people of this
because
house.
Of the church, their enrichment and challenge, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for God's revelation. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for relationship. Thank you for encouragement and challenge.
Is that your head, Stephen? I thought Joey or Gam was with you for a minute, but that, you know what? That's enough pictures. Because I could go on. My heart overflows because of the people of this house that have loved God, that have given and obeyed, not out of coercion, not out of pressure, joy. When it comes time to sow into generation seed, I want you to realize you're helping to make history in the Philippines. Not just the Philippines, but there's things happening in other nations I really don't want to talk about online because some of it might be a little bit more private, and in some of these nations, you know, I can't really say, but let me tell you, God is doing some things that if you knew, you'd be like me. Just weep. Because it's so beautiful. What a privilege. What an honor to be connected with something that God is doing in our generation. And we get to partner together with Him. And we get to add our supply, whether it's the giving of ourselves in an area where it's the adding of our talent. Or if God speaks to us and says, hey, sow a seed here. Let me multiply it back to you. There's some things I want to bring in your life. Give me something to multiply. It's okay. You won't lack. You won't lack. And we're birthing things that are touching the nation. Oh, the joy of what we get to do. I almost made it. What a privilege. What a joy. That's why the Bible said God loves a cheerful, a hilarious. In other words, you just, but it takes revelation. Nothing being heavy, just enjoying what God is doing in you and with you and through you and what we get to be a part of. Father, thank you for our families, our natural families, our sons and our daughters, the husbands and wives. And thank you for the spiritual family of this house. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what we get to participate in our generation and preparing the next. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.